This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If I could send the same Christmas card every year, I would. I discovered it a few years ago, and it's a favorite of mine of all time. It's the familiar nativity scene with the animals and the star and a manger. But Mary is in the background, napping. Actually, more than just napping. Somehow the picture conveys the idea that she is in that slow delta wave, deep sleep, exhausted from so much traveling, searching for a place to stay, and then, of course, birthing a baby. And on this card, Joseph is depicted as much older, and he is front and center, holding the baby in swaddling clothes. But when you look at the baby, there is not this shining angelic expression that we often see. It's the face of a normal newborn, wincing, scrunching, slightly mottled in red, and obviously crying as his father Joseph tries to pace and console the child, allowing Mary to nap. Now, one of my favorite Christmas carols is Away in the Manger, but when you look at this particular Christmas card, so much for the idea of no crying he makes. This baby is definitely crying. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, has not had a lot of prominence in the nativity story. Through the years, artists have depicted the story, and they don't really depict any kind of proactive fathering on the part of Joseph. In 1635, the artist Rainey does a depiction of a very old Joseph gazing upon a very angelic-looking baby Jesus. It's a beautiful picture, but as I look at it, my thought is, what must he be thinking? What must Joseph be thinking during all of this? Who is he? Who is Joseph? Now, there's not a lot of information in the Bible about Joseph, but we do have some insights. And these insights often get pushed to the sidelines. He is most prominent in Matthew's gospel, as we heard this morning. This is what was read, what John read this morning, is the Christmas story in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, there are no angels and shepherds. And in this first chapter of Matthew, Matthew lists the genealogy of Jesus. And this is where we first learn that Joseph was the one descended from David, not Mary. Joseph was of David's line. And then, of course, we heard about the dream that happens when Joseph is ready to dismiss Mary quietly, because having her pregnant would have been a terrible scandal. This angel comes and says, Joseph, no, it's God's plan that you be the earthly father of this child. I doubt that this was the chapter Joseph wrote for his life, but that's the way God works sometimes. So Joseph awakes and does as he is told to do by the angel. And then in Matthew, Joseph is actually quite busy after the birth of Jesus. I guess God figured, well, it worked the first time, so God sends another angel in a dream and tells Joseph to quickly take his family to Egypt because Herod is going to kill all the children under 2 years old born in the area of Bethlehem, because Herod is so threatened in learning that a king has been born. So Joseph does once again pick up his family and makes a very difficult journey to Egypt in order that they are safe. And after that danger has been abated, an angel comes again in a dream and says, okay, Joseph, take them back to Israel. But Joseph, being the protector, says, we have to be careful. Herod is gone, but his son is king, and I don't trust that king. So Joseph decides that Nazareth is a safe place to bring up this child. And indeed, it coincides with what the prophets predicted. So Joseph is actually present before the birth of the baby and after the birth of the baby. And even in the Gospel of Luke, we know that Joseph and Mary take the child to the temple on the eighth day after circumcision and present the child. And then we also know in the Gospel of Luke that at age 12, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple for the feast of the Passover, where Jesus gets lost. And his parents are incredibly anxious about this lost child and really reprimand Jesus, who says, "Well, I had to be there. I had a lot of questions for these rabbis." So we see Joseph in this context, and we know that Joseph did teach Jesus the trade of carpentry. He raised Jesus in the Jewish tradition. So there are things that we know about Joseph. We don't know anything about Joseph during the time of Jesus' ministry, and so it's often assumed that he actually died before Jesus was 30 years old, because we hear about Mary during Jesus' ministry, but not Joseph. But Joseph does play a very important role in bringing up Jesus and teaching him the traditions. But what about this nativity scene? What about this Christmas pageant that you saw this week? What about all the depictions of the birth in Bethlehem? As the Bible tells this story, we really are able to get inside the hearts and the minds of many of the characters. Think about it. What are the angels doing? They're singing glory to God. They're announcing this great joy, this wonderful news. There's all this joy and glory emanating from the angels' announcement. Think about the shepherds. We know they're terrified. They are terrified, and they don't know what's going on, and they run breathlessly to Bethlehem. And once they see the child, they're so excited that they want to go and tell everyone what has happened in Bethlehem. And Mary, we have known Mary's thoughts since the angel Gabriel came to her and announced that she was going to have a baby. Mary runs to Elizabeth, and then at the birth, Mary ponders what's going on. We know what Mary is thinking. We can get into the hearts and minds of many of these characters. But what about Joseph? What do we know about Joseph? What do we know about his thoughts, his feelings at the manger? Nothing really that Scripture reveals. Joseph just stands there. He just stands there. How many Christmas pageant directors, myself included, have you known who recruit for the role of Joseph? And what do they say to the person or the child that they're recruiting? They say, "All you have to do is stand there. Just stand there." That's all that Joseph does. He just stands there. And he does. And maybe this is the gift that Joseph gives us this season. To just stand there. How many of you this week have just stood by that manger? Have just been in the presence of that child in the manger? How many of you have done that this week? How many of you have just stood there at any point in this season? For we know this season, and I know this church. You've had four wonderful Sundays of Advent. You decorated the church with greens. You put on the Christmas pageant. New banners were hung. The choir and the worship team spent a lot of time preparing music. Jessie prepared wonderful sermons, and I don't know how many times she told the Christmas story to the preschool. It was a lot. She told me that. You took care of families who were in need, making sure that they would have a Christmas. And in your personal life, what has gone on these past 4 weeks? You've had school parties, maybe office parties, and I bet you've been to Safeway and Target more than once. And you either got the tree out of storage, or you tried to fit it in your car, or you somehow put up some kind of decorations. We know this season. And we also know what follows this season. I know what you've already been thinking about, how you're going to reorganize your house after the decorations go down. And I know that all of us are going to eat better and exercise more. And I know that we're thinking about the winter months and what's on the calendar ahead. And for Christmas, it is true that we do need to think about the message of Christmas and how, as Christians, we need to go out into the world and take this message of hope and peace and joy, and not just individual salvation, but salvation for the many. We are called to do that as Christians. But have any of you stood by the manger? Have you just stood by the manger and realized that we don't have to do any of this on our own? That God has come into the world to be with us. And we are given that reminder. But do we stand there long enough to take that in? Do we stand there long enough to absorb it into our bones and into our hearts and into our minds? Because you know what? Life is rough. Life is messy. And we carry a lot of feelings into this season. And God says, come. Come and just be with me. Joseph gives us the permission. Joseph invites us, don't just do something, stand there. Just stand there. Stand by this manger for a time. Come as you truly are. Be yourself. Come with your lingering doubts. Come with the grief that you have suffered this year. Come with your worries for what lies ahead, for your anxieties over the world's uncertainties. The Bible doesn't tell us this, but I am sure that Joseph stood there with these same kinds of feelings. Grief over the life he had planned. Anxiety over what this child meant. Worries for how he was going to take care of this family. Doubts about what in the world is going on here and why do these angels keep coming to me in dreams? But he stood there. He just stood there in the presence of the hope of the world. The poet J. Barrie Shepherd has a collection of poems called Faces at the Manger. The longest poem in his book is about Joseph. It's called Joseph, Foster Parent. And in this poem, Shepherd lifts up this gift that Joseph gives us, the permission to stand there by the manger, to stand in the presence of God's hope, and to take that into our lives. The poem ends with, "Oh, come, let us adore him," says the Christmas carol. The carol does not say, "Come, let us serve him." You will notice that. Nor does the carol say, come, let us work for him. Let us strive for him. Let us live for him and die for him. All that will come in God's own time. But for now, the words are, venite adoremus. Come, let us adore him. And just stand there. Let us be there simply as Joseph was. Simply as Joseph was, with nothing to do, with nothing to bring, with nothing to be said, except behold, be blessed, be silent, be at peace, just be yourself. The angel said to Joseph, son of David, do not fear. And the angel says to Jim and John and Mary and Fred and Jean and Betty and Tom and Sue and Florence, and put your name there too, because that's the word for us at this manger. Do not fear. Our Lord, the God, the sovereign maker of heaven and earth, maker of time and eternity, of life and death, of all that is and shall be, has joined us here on earth. In this moment, just stand there. Because our God, who has come to be with us, shares our sorrows, knows our fears, is well acquainted with our foolishness, and still brings us peace, and still gives us hope, and still tells us, just stop trying. Stop trying for the moment. It's okay. Stop striving. Stop your doing. Stop. Stand there and believe and accept and know that you are mine and you are blessed forever. The time is now. The hour is at hand. Venite adoremus. Don't miss the opportunity. Nothing else can take its place. Come. The time is now. To simply stand there like Joseph and adore. Don't just do something, stand there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now I'm gonna give you a minute to just be in silence. And maybe it's the only minute you'll take this week to just stand at the manger with the Christ child. But let's do it.